We all know you snooze through a few of your classes. Shane Norling has got you covered. All the college games you're watching.
Auburn's going to win the football game! Auburn's going to win the football game!
Plus the ones you didn't know you needed to care about.
Can you believe what you just saw?
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap!
Welcome to Snorlin' U.
Welcome in to Snorlin' U. I'm Shane Orland, producer of the Cap and J Hood Morning Show every Monday through Friday on ESPN 1000, 7 to 10 a.m. every Monday through Friday. Appreciate you being in with me today. I know we've done poorly this season. I'm going to keep this episode, frankly, a little short and sweet. I've got seven college plays on the board. I want to hand you a couple NFL plays that I'm a big fan of. And honestly, I want to get the hell out of here. So that's kind of where I'm going to start. Is we are getting into the sweet spot, in my opinion, of the college football season, where, look, next week starts Maction. We're at a point where we are going to go 27 consecutive days where football in some form will be on the television. I will have a Maction type of deal available for you. It will probably start next Tuesday. I'm a big fan of the midweek Mac games. They're great gambling opportunities. In the past, overs in Maction have been magical. Not a lot of defense played in the Mac. There's always a couple explosive wide receivers, explosive running backs. The one thing that can screw you, college kickers, and frankly, you're betting the Mac. You're seeing less talented football games, but the talent disparity between the two teams isn't as large. Really, in every conference, that's kind of true right now, except the Big Ten and the SEC. You've got a couple games there where, look, like Georgia, Florida, it's a 23-point line. Michigan State, Michigan, which I will talk about here, that's a 23-point line. Penn State, Ohio State, I'll talk about that as well. That's a 15.5-point line. Mac, it's kind of like, and this is going to sound very stupid when I say it, but it's kind of like the NFL of college football, where you don't get that level of talent. It's two not talented teams playing each other, but they're equally talented, if that makes sense. Like, with the exception of maybe like an Akron, you look at some teams in the MAC that are on a level playing field. And every week you get a level playing field. So the MAC is very entertaining to bet, if nothing else. And honestly, in the past, it's been a bit of a honeypot. Maction, I'm very excited about. I will do some things in that regard. Like I said, I don't want to spend a ton of time. I went to NFL last week. I was having a great season in the NFL. Of course, the week that I put it on this pod is the first week I lose in the NFL. So I have two NFL plays. I have seven college plays. I have some reasons for all of them. I just want to get into it, get in and out. I don't want to take too much of your time. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you listening to Cap and Jay Hood. Everything you do with us is great. We love you. But let's just get into it. I'm going to start with the games you don't think that you need to care about. And I mean, you really don't need to care about. Like, you can bet these. I doubt you'll watch them. Virginia and Miami, the University of Miami, the U, hosting Virginia. And Virginia's a 1.5-point dog at home, I believe. Actually, Virginia is at home, a 1.5-point dog. They're coming off the win over Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's been a little better than expected. Virginia got the underdog win last week against Georgia Tech. And I think they're in a spot where, look, Miami sucks. You know, Tyler Van Dyke entered the year as a probable first-round pick. He may not get drafted. He's been terrible. The team as a whole has been terrible. Whether or not they're going to invest into football in the future is in question because of the size of the alumni base. It just seems like a team nobody cares about. Virginia, on the other hand, bowl eligibility is a success. This is the part of the season where, look, you're going to have teams. Another great example is going to be Arkansas against Auburn, where some of these teams entered the year knowing what it was, Auburn. Some of them didn't, Arkansas. And you now are at a point where some seasons have gone sideways. For Virginia, bowl eligibility is a huge success. For Miami, the expectations were significantly higher. The expectations were to compete in the ACC. They're not going to do that. Their season's done. their season is done. And now in this era of college football where the transfer portal's open, you know, the NIL exists, guys aren't going to hang around and play real hard and go out and maybe risk injury when the season's over. So Virginia on the money line at home, home dog, that's going to be a theme. Seven plays, all underdogs. Virginia's the first, plus 105 to win outright against the U is my first play. My second play, Thursday night. So if you're hearing this Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, good luck to you. Wazoo is on the is at home in the Palouse. I keep getting the place wrong. Wazoo is at home in the Palouse, in Pullman, hosting Utah. Utah off a bye, also off their largest win of the year. An absolute war against USC, where Utah won with a two-point conversion at the very end of the game to effectively walk off the Trojans and hand them their first loss. They have the bye week, so maybe you think that keeps them from the emotional letdown. The issue, you take the bye week and you go to Pullman. You're going to the Zoo. I told you it's a dog week. You get Wazoo as a big dog, 7.5 at home. It's almost an autoplay. It's one of the most difficult environments in the country to go play at. It just is. I know they're not a great football team. Neither is Utah. Utah 5-2 coming off a win that was kind of a schedule win for the Utes against USC. Remember the Utah was favored by 2.5 in that game. 3.5 maybe. Remember they were favored over USC in that game. At home, at night, USC first real road test. Utah is not that good. And 7.5-point favorite to Wazoo, I think, is a massive overreaction by the market to what they saw from Utah at home against the Trojans and then having the bye week to prepare for going to the Palouse. But the fact of the matter is, you're going to the Palouse. And the Pac-12, the talent disparity in the Pac-12 is not enormous. I mean, UCLA got bombed by Oregon. UCLA on a neutral field or at home might beat Oregon. The disparity is not that large to me. So when I see Wazoo getting 7.5, I think it's too much. I would have this game at Wazoo plus 4. And at home as a dog, I'm going to bet Wazoo plus 210 to win the game outright. It's a shot. It's a huge odds play. It's a numbers play to me. I'm not betting on the team. I'm betting the number. And I think you actually have a better chance than offered to win it. I think this should be more in the range of plus 145. I'm getting plus 210, plus 215 some places, depending where you're looking. Yeah, I'm going to bet Wazoo there. And maybe he loses, or maybe we kick off our Thursday night with a two-unit win and we move on. That's kind of what I'm hoping for. And anytime I can go to the Palouse and get a big dog on a money line, I'm going to do it because it's a very difficult place to play. I want to offer Nebraska hosting Illinois and Lincoln. Lincoln is where dreams go to die. Just very, very simply. Many a Nebraska team has been horrible. And many a Nebraska team that is horrible has hosted a very, very good Big Ten team and beaten them in that building. It's happened to my Michigan State Spartans when they were undefeated in 2015. And they head to Lincoln after beating Michigan, and they got popped. It's happened to Michigan, where they've been unable to cover numbers in Lincoln because the game is so tight. It happened a year ago to Michigan. It's a Nebraska team that, look, it doesn't have to be good. You have, again, it comes down to the difficulty of the environment, and it's something that exists in college that doesn't exist in the NFL anymore. Going to Lincoln, you are entering a zoo. You are entering a snake pit. When you are a ranked team, it's like going to Kinnick. This is a place where when you go there, you're a ranked team, having a dream season, and Illinois is. They're not that good. They flirted with disaster against Virginia. They flirted with disaster against Minnesota. They haven't been favored in many of these games. They were dogs when they bombed a god-awful Wisconsin team. They were dogs against Minnesota. Very slight favorites over Iowa, who can't score in a morgue. But they flirted with disaster. I mean, the Iowa game, you win 9-6. You got to pick one of the worst throws I've ever seen from Spencer Petras at the end of the game. They've flirted with disaster all season. Now they're laying 7.5 on the road in Lincoln. Look, Nebraska's not that good. They're coming off a win against Rutgers. They had a really nice win a couple weeks ago. Since firing Scott Frost, they're not quitting on anybody. And it's honestly, it's just a place where, hey, Illinois, it's a great story. It's been a nice run. Are they 7 points better than anybody in the Big Ten West? 7 points? It's hard for me to get there. I can't get to that price. So Nebraska plus 7.5 is also a play. Michigan State plus 23 at Michigan. I feel like I may be on the wrong side of this. I'm trying my best not to be betting with my heart. But 23 points is way too many for me. I can't get there. When I priced this game out earlier in the week, I had Michigan minus 18. That felt about right. I knew that number was never going to go up anywhere because even if that's where they drew it, Michigan minus 18 for one of the most publicly bet biggest fan bases in America would immediately get hammered. So when I saw 21.5 as the open line, I waited. I wanted to see what would happen. And as they're known to do and as they're so reliable in doing so, Michigan people came in and hammered this sucker. And it's out to 23. And 23, I'm getting 5 points on where I price this game. I feel actually quite comfortable betting Michigan State. Historically, these games are close. I'm not going to do the throw the records out. I'm not going to do all that shit because that's what it is. But historically, these games are close. Mel Tucker, 2-0 against Jim Harbaugh. 2 years ago was the last time there was a spread this large when Michigan was favored by over 20 against Michigan State. Michigan State won that game outright. COVID alert, obviously. But if there's one thing that this team does, that this school does, even when they're having a bad year, they get up for this game. They get up for this game. And gone are the days, and I know Michigan fans are loath to hear it, but they know it deep down. Gone are the days of Michigan State being a pushover in the bad years. They'll still lose. There's no shot Michigan State wins this game. But they're not losing it by 24 points. I just can't imagine that happening. They're not a pushover to Michigan anymore. This is an important game in a year like this. It's their Super Bowl. You win this one. Hey, man, you win this one, I'll take the rebuilding year being awful. That's the way it is. You win this one. You get up for this one. I can't get to 23. Objectively pricing at 18, taking in the history of this rivalry, and especially the recent history, the past 40 years or so, it's always a tight game. It's always lower scoring, except last year when Michigan State won 38-33. Mel Tucker's being undefeated against Jim Harbaugh. There's a little bit of added pressure, even though you're a 23-point favorite, because of the fact you haven't beaten this guy, because of the fact it's a benchmark game. I worry about laying that much with Michigan. The obvious concern is Michigan State can't block on offense. They can't run. They can't defend. They don't stop the run very well. They certainly don't stop the pass. They don't do much well, so this could go sideways in a hurry. And Harbaugh, as much as there's pressure on him to do it, probably wants this to be an absolute murder. Probably wants to just make this a beatdown. My issue is I can't get to 23. I have it at 18. And I'm just at a point where I think it's Michigan State or pass with the way the number looks right now. Texas A&M, what a horrific team. Are they going to fire Jimbo Fisher, pony up the $86 million? Probably not. Could they? I imagine so if a booster gets irritated enough. The issue for me is you're hosting Ole Miss. Ole Miss is wildly overrated because of their soft schedule and their undefeated start. They went out, lost to LSU. They didn't just lose. They got plastered by LSU. And LSU I don't think very much of. Now you go to LSU last week and get plastered. You don't even get a home reprieve. You're going to College Station. And those fans are rabid, and they're pissed off. And this team has a coach in Jimbo Fisher who, if he loses this one to Lane Kiffin, yeah, he may be out on his ass. I mean, he's at least feeling the heat. So I have a feeling here you get the short line, 1.5, depending where you shop. I like Texas A&M just straight up, plus 105. Sticking with the SEC, Auburn and Arkansas, and I told you I'd talk about this. Arkansas is a team where, look, the season just went absolutely sideways on them. Great start, but everybody talked about how difficult the schedule was going to be. Everybody talked about, do you get through the season healthy? The fact of the matter is, this team's awful. They're much more the team that got bombed by Mississippi State than they are the team that put up 52 on BYU. They're much more the team that struggled mightily against Alabama in that fourth quarter, couldn't stop the run, than they are the team that put 52 on BYU and won last week. And I think that bought people back in on Arkansas. There's no way they should be priced the way they are against Auburn. Auburn should be much tighter than plus 145 on the money line. So once again, dogs barking. I know Auburn wants to fire their coach. I know Auburn's in a weird spot, but the players are talking as though they're playing in spite of him, if you're paying attention to what's going on down there. And I have a feeling Auburn goes and wins it for them. I'm betting Auburn at Jordan-Hare, plus 145, plus 130 at some places, depends where you're shopping. But you can get a plus 145 that I think is extremely valuable. A couple games I'm not betting, and I'll tell you why. Iowa State, Oklahoma. Iowa State at home plus 1.5 against an Oklahoma team that we know blows. I really want to bet Iowa State here. My issue is, fuck Matt Campbell. This guy runs out a freshman kicker to miss kicks every game. Hashtag college kickers. He's got no idea what he's doing in the red zone. The offense is atrocious. They're not going to let Oklahoma score much, but I don't know that they can score at all. So I can't really go out and hand you Iowa State plus 1.5. I certainly can't do it on the money line because they're going to lose by a fucking field goal that this freshman kicker missed again. Can you tell I've been burnt by this some this year? I'm a little hot about it. It's the only reason that I can't bet this team. I think it's an auto play on paper. But when you look at what Matt Campbell has done with this team, with this freshman kicker and with this offense, you can't get there. How do you bet on Iowa State right now? You can't. They blow. And it's in spite of themselves because the defense is fantastic. But the offense, the head coaching decisions on offense, and that fucking kicker, you can't bet on them. And then the final game, sorry about that. I just, when I think about Iowa State and what they've done to me this season and what Matt Campbell has done to me this season, I mean, the turnovers in the red zone, passing out of your own red zone into a pick six, just some of the decisions. This is why they say gambling sucks. This is why you shouldn't get into it, really. Because some of the decisions that you see on a weekly basis are so abhorrent, and they will lose you money. It is what it is. Ohio State, Penn State, I'm not betting it. If it were a whiteout, if it were at night, it's in Happy Valley. If it were a whiteout at night, I'd bet it. But in my opinion, Ohio State has the best two backs in the country, in the Big Ten, excuse me. Blake Corum, I think, is a little overrated at Michigan. I think Ohio State with Travion Henderson, the other kid. I mean, they got the best two backs in the conference. C.J. Stroud is playing like a number one pick, 6 touchdowns at Michigan State a couple weeks ago. They've just been absolutely on fire, 52 points at Iowa last week. Ohio State, to me, is a team that is getting tuned up. They remember what happened in Ann Arbor a year ago. They may have gone to the playoff, likely would have gone to the playoff, probably been able to put up a better performance against Georgia than Michigan did. They remember what happened in Ann Arbor. And I feel like when you see a score like you did in Iowa, where Ohio State dropped 52 on probably the most frustrating defense in the Big Ten, they are out for blood. And I thought this preseason, and I got a little nervous when the Notre Dame game happened, and then we saw what Notre Dame was, but now we're seeing Ohio State operate on all cylinders. Stroud's incredible. The receivers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Jackson Smith and Jigba, these guys are amazing. They have talent at every position. And I just, they seem like a team that is tuning up for an absolute body bagging of Michigan in the shoe come Thanksgiving weekend. So for me, I lean Ohio State. I can't do it because it's in Happy Valley. And it's always a nightmare realm. You go to Happy Valley, you're favored on the wrong side of two touchdowns. I always get a little nervous. You remember Michigan, Penn State last year? Michigan, a huge favorite in Happy Valley. And it was, Sean Clifford, late in the game with the ball and a chance to win. And they got the lead, and it took a Cade McNamara miracle. I mean, Happy Valley, weird shit happens. You just do yourself a favor. Stay away from the big road favorite in Happy Valley. You don't need to bet Penn State because things could absolutely go sideways here. Just enjoy this game. Ohio State, Penn State in Happy Valley, it's a great matchup. Just enjoy that. A couple NFL plays tonight, Thursday Night Football. I think the Bucs are absolutely dead. Brady looks like he's lost too much weight. He's lost some definition in his jawline. I don't think he's playing well. I don't think he wants to be there. I really just, when you're yelling at your offensive line, missing walkthroughs, your lack of commitment, look, it's over. The run's over. We're all thankful he was the GOAT. I am in particular. He's my favorite athlete of all time. Frankly, I'm enjoying watching him go out this way. I like the Ravens -1.5, and I don't even think the Ravens are that good. I just think the Bucs are absolutely dead. And then in one of the larger overreactions of the week, I'm going to bet the Patriots -2.5 in New York taking on the Jets. I am. I think the Patriots should be on the other side of a field goal here. And honestly, the Jets have gotten a shitload of luck. I mean, you get to have your defense out there against Brett Rippon in Denver. You couldn't score for anything. Zach Wilson, whatever you think of him, doesn't have the raw talent of Justin Fields. And I think when you factor in, Mac Jones has already been named the starter. They're not going to fuck around at quarterback this time. You just go, okay, you actually have a little consistency. You seem to actually be building a game plan. Let's go see what happens. We are better than New York. Like that, to me, it's the Patriots here, and you just ride the opposite side to one of the biggest overreactions from one of the most surprising losses last week. The Patriots were 8.5-point favorites for a reason. They're better than the Bears. If you played that game again today, the Patriots would be 6.5-point favorites, 7.5-point favorites. It wouldn't change that much. I think we're in a situation where you got to be very careful not to overreact what happened and go, ooh, Jets +2.5 at home. Boy, they're just dangling that out for you, aren't they? And I think you just bet the Patriots. All right, that's what I got for Snorling You today. Thank you for listening, as always. Catch me on the Cap and Jay Hood Show Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 a.m. with Cap and Hoodie hanging out. It's a fun time, and I'll be back next week with some action.